Lecture topic, the absence of modesty.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawm al-deen wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihi al-majid wa furqanihi al-hamid. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani ar-rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. والذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم أيما امرأة أصابت بخورا فلا تشهد معنا الإشاء الآخرة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, amongst the many unique qualities that nature has inherently placed in every human, one is the outstanding quality of modesty and bashfulness. Some possess it to a greater degree, others to a lesser degree, but by and large Allah has favored every human with this quality, and it is by virtue of this quality that you and I are protected and safeguarded against many evils. The nature of the human ego is constant provocation towards sin, as the Quran says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ. But it is out of the fear of embarrassment, guilt and exposure that we do not perpetrate many crimes. Hence, the more we harness this quality, the more we preserve the quality, the greater our protection and our barrier against sin. And Allah forbid, if we violate the sanctity of this quality, as we know there is a deliberate campaign, to remove modesty and bashfulness, so much more do we become susceptible and vulnerable towards sin and vice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his most eloquent words said it, إِذَا فَاتَتْكَ الْحَيَا فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. When modesty will become an absent entity, then nothing will stop you from flirting in public, nay from fornicating, Allah forbid, from raping, and even one beyond from satisfying yourself with the same gender. إِذَا فَاتَتْكَ الْحَيَا. When modesty will become absent, فَاسْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. Now there's no barriers. Modesty is a natural deterrent which Mother Nature has placed in us to keep us away from sin. There was a Sahabi by the name of Ashaj radiallahu anhu. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, إِنَّ فِيكَ لَخُلُقَيْنِ يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهِ. You have two qualities which Allah loves very, very dearly. So immediately he asked, قُلْتُ مَا هُمَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O Prophet of Allah, what are these two qualities? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الْحِلْمُ وَالْحَيَاءُ. Modesty and tolerance. These are outstanding qualities that you possess. Ashaj radiallahu anhu said, I then asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقَدِيمًا كَانَ فِيَّ أَوْ حَدِيثًا. Were these qualities found in me that I was naturally born with them, or were they later developed by me? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَلْ كَانَ قَدِيمًا. These are qualities that you were naturally born with. He replied and he said, الحمد لله الذي جبلني على خلقين يحبهما الله. I'm grateful to Allah that He's created me with two qualities which are beloved to Him. Now, if we study the hadith, we will find there is something in the hadith we refer to as غيرت. غيرت is to elevate the quality of modesty on a higher level, and that is protection and possession and obsession over one's spouse, over one's daughters, over the female members of the family. There is a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, Mughira radiallahu anhu narrates it, where he says that Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu one day uttered a statement which attracted much attention. He said, لو رأيت رجلا مع امرأتي لضربته بالسيف. I swear by Allah, if I have to find a strange man interfering with my spouse, I will strike that man with the sharp edge of my sword. فَبَلَغَ ذَلِكَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Nabi alayhi salam heard about this, and that Sahaba were talking, and there was much of a discussion about it. He said, أَتَعْجَبُونَ مِنْ غَيْرَةِ سَعْدٍ. Are you people impressed at the sense of honor that Sa'd has? وَاللَّهِ لَا أَنَا أَغْيَرُ مِنْهُ. I swear by Allah, I have a greater sense of honor than he has. وَاللَّهُ أَغْيَرُ مِنِّي. And Allah has a greater sense of honor than I. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ الْفَوَاحِشِ. And it is because of the sense of honor that Allah has. Actually the word غَيْرَت sense of honor is not an apt translation of it. Those who appreciate Arabic can understand the connotations of the word ghayrat. It is because of that Allah has made immorality forbidden and unlawful. The ayat al-karima that I have recited before you, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يَجْتَنِبُونَ كَبَائِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَالْفَوَاحِشِ. It's a verse of the 25th juz in Surah Shura. Allah says, those who abstain from major sins and immoral actions. The scholars of tafsir explain to us that under the heading of major sins, immorality is included. But then Allah makes categoric reference. Although fawahish is discussed under major sins, but then Allah individually highlights the prohibition of immorality. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَ. Those who wish to promote immorality amongst the believers, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. For them is a severe torment in this world and in the akhirah. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was told and was informed that some people were negligent with regards to their spouses, in the sense that they were entering the marketplace and from time to time rubbing shoulders with strange men. So Ali radiallahu anhu said, أَلَمْ يَبْلُغْنِي عَنْ نِسَائِكُمْ أَنَّهُنَّ يُزَاحِمْنَ الْعُلُوجَ فِي الْأَسْوَاقِ أَلَا تُغَارُونَ. Listen, I have been told that some of you allow your spouses and your daughters to enter the marketplace and enter any hall or mall and rub shoulders with strange men. Don't you feel violated? أَلَا تُغَارُونَ. Where is your sense of honor? Allah forbid if a man enters your house and he steals. One is the fact, the trauma. But over and above the trauma, there is an invasion to your security. There is an invasion to your security, to your privacy. Don't you feel violated? Asma bint Abi Bakr, the great daughter of Islam, the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, the honorable wife of Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, Zubair ibn al-Awam radiallahu anhu. She says, one day I was returning from the farm. It was extremely hot. وَالنَّوَى عَلَىٰ رَأْسِي. And the date pits were on my head and I'm walking in the heat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seen me and he pitied me. So he signaled to me and he said that, come and you know, I will mount you onto the conveyance, pitying me, walking in the heat of Arabia with this basket on my head. Asma radiallahu anha said, it was the Prophet of Allah, but obviously around him there were other Sahaba, regarding whom we cannot and we will not entertain any form of doubt, because these were those guiding stars. But Asma radiallahu anha said, as hot as it was, and as much as I wanted to get onto the back of that camel, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called me, فَذَكَرْتُ الزُّبَيْرِ وَغَيْرَتَهُ وَكَانَ مِنْ أَغْيَرِ النَّاسِ. For a moment, my husband flashed through my mind, and his possessive nature over me, his obsession that he has over me, that flashed through my mind. وَكَانَ مِنْ أَغْيَرِ النَّاسِ. And he would give his life, but he wouldn't allow any man to come close to me. I thought for a moment that if I go there, perhaps this will not gel good with my husband. He might become uncomfortable and I might be compromising his honor and his dignity. So I declined and I said, oh Prophet of Allah, you can carry on. I'm fine. Nonetheless, I walked, I came home, and then I told my husband, I said, I must tell you, just as loyalty and faithfulness to the relation, I was walking, the Prophet of Allah offered me a ride. But I respected your sentiments and I know you're very protective. Now I'm afraid we have this quality of possession and protection and obsession, but over the car and over the phone and over documents and over this and over that, but not over our women folk. So when it comes to our women, we're quite casual and we're quite free. There is a hadith, Buraydah radiallahu anhu narrates it. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا مِن رَجُلٍ يَخْلُفُ رَجُلًا فِي أَهْلِهِ. That person who is out in the path of Allah, or he's out elsewhere, and somebody betrays him with regards to his spouse in his absence, these two will be brought before Allah on the day of Qiyamah. And it would be said to the husband, هَذَا قَدْ خَانَكَ فِي أَهْلِكَ فَخُذْ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ مَا شِئْتَ. This man has betrayed you in your absence with regards to your wife. Here is his good deeds. You can enjoy them all as much as you want. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَأْخُذُ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ مَا شَاءَ. He will start drawing from the good deeds of this man who betrayed him in regards to his wife. The Prophet ﷺ then concludes it on a question, أَتَرَوْنَ يَدَعُ لَهُ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِهِ شَيْئًا. The desperation of Qiyamah, where one deed will make a difference, and here you given the good deeds of a man at your discretion. The Prophet ﷺ says, do you think this man will leave any good deeds? He, you know, will say, take him to the cleaners. He will wipe him clean. Why? Because he betrayed him with regards to his spouse in his absence. In Arabic, the poet says, كُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبْدَأُهَا مِنَ النَّظْرِ وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغِرِ الشَّرَرِ. The root cause of all the problems is the abuse of the sight. كُلُّ الْحَوَادِثِ مَبْدَأُهَا مِنَ النَّظْرِ. The root cause of all the problems, the marriages, breaking up, divorce, disloyalty, infidelity, is because of the abuse of the sight. And then the poet goes on to say, وَمُعْظَمُ النَّارِ مِنْ مُسْتَصْغِرِ الشَّرَرِ. It takes a spark to ignite a fire. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahumullah, one of the greatest poets that history has ever seen, he said, عِفُّ تَعِفُّ نِسَاءُكُمْ فِي الْمَحْرَمِ وَتَجَنَّبُوا مَا لَا يَلِيقُ بِمُسْلِمٍ إِنَّ الزِّنَا دَيْنٌ فَإِنْ أَقْرَضْتَهُ كَانَ الزِّنَا مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ فَعْلَمِ. He said, abstain from casting a nasty glance on a strange woman, and divinely Allah will save your woman from the nasty glances of strange men. وَتَجَنَّبُوا مَا لَا يَلِيقُ بِمُسْلِمٍ. And do not perpetrate any action which compromises the dignity of Muslims. Don't do anything which is not in par and in harmony with the nature and the profile of a believer. More so in a climate where the action of one is taken to be symbolic of the whole ummah. So you're not being viewed as an individual, but you've been viewed as an ummah. وَتَجَنَّبُوا مَا لَا يَلِيقُ بِمُسْلِمٍ. Whether at airports or public places, take into cognizance the implications of my actions. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الزِّنَا دَيْنٌ. He says fornication is a debt. It's a liability. If I borrow money, I owe it back to you. He says if you fornicated, it will happen to your daughter or your wife. فَإِنْ أَقْرَضْتَهُ كَانَ مِنْ أَهْلِ بَيْتِكَ فَعْلَمِي. If you have cast a nasty glance, rest assured, you are making your daughter vulnerable and susceptible to, Allah forbid, many, without generalizing, who are no less than vultures in the outside world. Now the Prophet ﷺ has given us clear guidelines, which if we comply with, I promise you, there will be no issues. With regards to the woman, he said, the riwayat of Muslim Zainab Thaqafiyya narrates it. The Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا شَهِدَتْ إِحْدَاكُنَّ الْعِشَىٰ فَلَا تُطَيِّبْ تِلْكَ اللَّيْلَىٰ. If any woman decides to come and perform the Isha Salah in my masjid, then tell her that night she mustn't apply any fragrance or any deodorants when she leaves the house coming to the masjid. Let's just reflect for a minute. We are speaking of the golden era of prophethood. We are speaking of the second holiest site in Islam, the Masjid of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Imam being the leader of Anbiya, the congregation being the galaxy of Sahaba, and the precautions that the Prophet ﷺ imposes on that sister is that if you come in for salah, my sister, then for heaven's sake, don't apply deodorants and don't apply fragrances. Now, can you imagine my sister today, who finds herself 14 centuries down the line in the continent of Africa, where she flushes herself with all deodorants and fragrance, and then she parades the halls and the malls? What corruption won't this cause on the earth? And in one narration he said, إِذَا اسْتَعْطَرَتِ الْمَرْأَى. When a woman puts on these deodorants and these fragrances, فَمَرَّتْ بِقَوْمٍ. And then deliberately she walks by a group of youngsters, لِيَجِدُوا رِيحَهَا. So that they can be attracted to her fragrance. فَهِيَ زَانِيَا. On the tongue of the master of both the worlds, he says she is no less than an adulteress. Usama radiallahu anhu says the Prophet ﷺ gave me a garment, a shawl. So one day he seen me, he said, مَا لَكَ يَا أُسَامَ لَمْ تَلْبَسْ الْقُبْطِيَّةِ. I gave you that shawl, you're not wearing it. He said, كَسَوْتُهَا إِمْرَأَتِي. I gave it to my wife. Now if we give it to someone and say, you're not wearing it, I gave it to my wife. Oh, she must be looking nice with it, man. Must tell me when she wears it. Oh, she looks so sweet. You want to know how my wife looks? The Prophet said, مُرْهَا فَلْتَجْعَلْ تَحْتَهَا غِلَالًا إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَنْ تَصِفَ حُجْمَ عِظَامِهَا. If you've given it to her, tell her, I said, she mustn't wear that independently. She must have an inner garment. I'm afraid it mustn't reveal the figure of her body. Now it is the absence of this consciousness of modesty. And that brings me to the next narration of Tibrani on the strength of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where the Prophet said, أَنْتُمْ أَشْبَهُ الْأُمَمْ. Whatever happened in the previous times will happen in this ummah. To the point, and this narration made my hair stand on ends. He said, حَتَّى أَنَّ الْقَوْمَ لَتَمُرُّ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَرْأَةُ فَيَقُومُ إِلَيْهَا بَعْضُهُمْ فَيُجَامِعُهَا فَيَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِهِ يَضْحَكُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَضْحَكُونَ إِلَيْهِ. In the previous times this has happened, which I foresee will happen in this ummah, that حَتَّى أَنَّ الْقَوْمَ, a group of young men were sitting, and the honor of no woman was safe, and a woman walks by. So one of the youngsters spring up, and they make a lustful advancement towards this girl. فَيُجَامِعُهَا, he rapes her in public. After he satisfies himself and he's done with her, يَرْجِعُ إِلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ, he sits down with his friends and his social clique, and they laugh the matter out. What was it? It was a joke. They trivialize it. The words of the hadith, يَضْحَكُ إِلَيْهِمْ وَيَضْحَكُونَ إِلَيْهِ. What you did? How was it? You enjoyed it, and it becomes an absolute joke. So if our woman can take into cognizance these guidelines that the Prophet ﷺ has laid out, and what has he told us? إِذَا أَحَدُكُمْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ الْمَرْأَةُ. If any one of you is attracted to a woman, the hadith of Muslim Sharif. Now this is the beauty. While you and I, via the marketing world, have been and are constantly invited to other women, and I honestly believe there is no ideal woman like I see on that billboard. My honest opinion, that is the eyes of one, the nose of another, the figure of a third, and the smile of a fourth, and the clothing of a fifth. And this thing has been packed together in an ideal, seductive way, which is appealing to you on every turn and every nook, wherever you drive. But I don't believe that particular ideal woman exists ever on this earth. Jannat has it, and that's the woman and the damsels of paradise. Allah bless us with them. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? إِذَا أَحَدُكُمْ أَعْجَبَتْهُ الْمَرْأَى. When you are impressed by a woman, فَوَقَعَتْ فِي قَلْبِهِ, and she captures your heart. Yesterday one youngster phoned me, he says, you know what, Mona, I'm having a lot of problems. So what's it, brother? He says, I find myself being drawn to the opposite gender. Welcome to the club. That is a human quality, the natural attraction. But what did the Prophet ﷺ say? فَلْيَعْمَدْ إِلَى امْرَأَتِهِ. Then tell him to make haste and go home, and then have relation with his spouse. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يَرُدُّ مَا فِي نَفْسِهِ. Because this will suppress the urge that is arousing within you. Now the point that I really want to draw, the beauty of Islam. While you and I have been invited to women elsewhere, what is the message of the Prophet ﷺ? Go back home. Your wife has everything. The message from this hadith is, don't be distracted from your spouse. فَإِنَّ مَعَهَا مِثْلَ الَّذِي مَعَهَا. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, your wife is no different. Allah has favored her with everything. So the focus of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ upon us is to turn back home. And he says, if you will do so, then it will suppress the urge that arouses. Now I'm afraid again, because our structures are not in place, any man can understand his vulnerability in the nude environment to which we are exposed. Hence all the more that a woman grooms herself to receive her husband when he comes home. But I'm afraid you're exposed, you're vulnerable, you're susceptible, only to return and your spouse is not at home. Why? Because she has to work as well. So now we're facing a new problem. The temptation now becomes irresistible, and then it compels me to resort to other measures which are un-Islamic, which the Quran says, فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَٰلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ. He who searches for the fulfillment of his lust in any avenue besides his wife or the slave girl, according to that time, he has trespassed all the limits. I know my time is quite close, but I ask of you to bear with me. I want to share one important incident with you. A situation where generally we lack modesty in totality, to the point that even the so-called religious become negligent, is the occasion of marriage. Even those that are relatively, conservative, those that are religious-minded, those that have modest inclinations, But I'm afraid even they violated on the occasion of marriage. The incident is narrated in the books of Hadith. Abdul Rahman Sulami says, أَنَّ سَلْمَانَ الْفَارْسِ تَزَوَّجَ إِمْرَأَةً فِي كِنْدَ. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu got married to a woman in Kinda. وَبَنَى بِهَا فِي بَيْتِهَا. And he consummated the relation at the wife's place. فَلَمَّا كَانَتْ لَيْلَةَ الْبِنَى. When it was the first night, the big night, the occasion, the hype, the excitement, مَشَى مَعَهُ أَصْحَابُهُ. As he's going to his wife's house, his friends came along with him. حَتَّى أَتَى بَيْتَ إِمْرَأَتِ. Until finally he came to his in-law's place. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ الْبَيْتِ. When he reached the house of his wife, his in-laws, he told his friends, and I quote the words of the narration, اِرْجِعُوا أَجَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ وَلَمْ يُدْخِلْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا كَمَا فَعَلَ السُّفَهَا. He said, Jazakallah for accompanying me. You can return back. I'm okay from now. I'll manage. I'm okay, my brother. The narration says he did not take his friends into the privacy of his wife's room as ignorant, foolish people would do. Now how sad a sight, how painful an ordeal that you take your colleagues, so-called colleagues, only to know when they stab you in the back. You take them on board in the stage and one she's posing for one, the other one is taking a smile and a camera and someone is, oh, you're looking so sweet. Like a demo model. What's left for you? وَلَمْ يُدْخِلْهُمْ عَلَيْهَا. He didn't allow them inside. He said, sorry, you can go back, my friend. اِرْجِعُوا أَجَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah reward you. He's about to enter the house. وَالْبَيْتُ مُنَجَّدْ. The house is decorated and draped up. So we say, oh, you cashed in, you got a good parcel in, married in a wealthy family, all the better. He said, أَمَحْمُومٌ بَيْتُكُمْ أَمْ تَحَوَّلَتِ الْكَعْبَةِ. Is your people's house sick? You got fever that you covered and draped up this whole house? Or is this the new Kaaba now? They said, مَا بَيْتُنَا بِمَحْمُومٌ وَلَا تَحَوَّلَتِ الْكَعْبَةِ. Our house is not sick, Salman. And this is not the new Kaaba. This is as it is. فَلَمْ يَدْخُلْ الْبَيْتِ حَتَّى نَزَعَ كُلَّ سِتْرَ الْبَيْتِ إِلَّا سِتْرَ الْبَابِ. He removed every curtain, every veil, with the exception of the veil of the door. Then he entered the house. رَعَى مَتَاعًا كَثِيرًا. A lot of presents, a lot of parcels, a lot of kunchas, a lot of roses. مَا هَذَا. What is this? مَتَاعُكَ وَمَتَاعُ إِمْرَأَتِكَ. This is from the neighbor, this is from the friend, this is from the family. And Allah forbid, I have been in talaq cases where I've seen with my own eye. Now you take the things. There was a woman that one day phoned me, she was tearing. She says, I don't know how to relate to you. I was still receiving wedding presents when my husband had already divorced me. In 2 weeks' time I was divorced, people were still coming to give me wedding presents and she broke down emotionally. She actually went through a nervous breakdown and then she was stabilized and she needed medication. And then when it gets ugly, there's arguments over all this lavish, who gave you this and this my family gave and I want this and I want that. He said, مَا بِهَذَا أَوْصَانِي خَلِيلِي. Look at the passionate bond. I'm afraid my late good friend Muhammad Sassim told me I mustn't love like this. Look at this consciousness of Allah at marriage. Imagine how conscious he must be of Allah. He said, أَوْصَانِي خَلِيلِي أَلَّا يَكُونَ مَتَاعِي مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا كَزَادِ الرَّاكِبِ. My good friend told me I must live in this world like a traveler. So you can dispose of this here. Then he sees all servants. مَا هَذَا. What is this? خَدَمُكَ. You just say water and someone will bring it. You lift your leg, someone will massage it. We'll say, oh, what more? He said, مَا بِهَذَا أَوْصَانِي خَلِيلِي. I'm afraid my Nabi advised me against this. Take these servants and you can do something else with them. Then he addresses the woman. Another problem we have. One is we take the men on the stage. And then when the husband comes to fetch his groom, he comes to fetch his bride, then all the women in the house, oh, that's my cousin, my neighbor. As-salamu alaykum, wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum. What did he say? هَلْ أَنْتُنَّ مُخَلِّيَاتٌ عَنِّي. هَلْ أَنْتُنَّ مُخَلِّيَاتٌ عَنِّي. Will you people, for Allah's sake, leave me and my wife and you, can you people kindly exit yourself? قُلْنَا نَعَمْ. They said, no problem. خَرَجْنَا. They left. أَرْخَ السِّتْرَ. He lowers the curtain. He comes to his wife. مَسَحَ نَاصِيَتِهَا. He then puts his hand on her forehead and he reads the dua. اللهم إني أسألك خيرها وخير ما جبلتها عليه وأعوذ بك من شرها وشر ما جبلتها عليه. Allah, I ask you for the good in this woman and save me from any evils that is to come our way in this marriage. He then asks his wife, هَلْ أَنْتِ مُطِيعَتِي فِي شَيْءٍ. Imagine this becomes the beginning of the youth of this ummah. And they don't start it at any club or any casino or any lavish or any scenic or exotic place. But with respect and dignity, modesty and loyalty, this is what they have to offer in the opening of their relation. هَلْ أَنْتِ مُطِيعَتِي فِي شَيْءٍ أَمُرُكِ بِهِ. Oh, my wife, will you comply if I say to you something? She said, Jalastu majlisa man yuta. I'm listening with my whole body, speak. He said, Awsani khalili, idha ijtama'tu ila ahli, an ajtami'a ila ta'ati Allahi azza wa jal. My late friend Muhammad Sassim told me, the day I get married, I must commence my union by praising Allah. If you consent my spouse, we both pray together. I pray, you say Ameen. She says, I'm on my husband. Faqama wa qamat, they stand up. They perform salah. Thumma kharaja, they exit from the room. Faqada minha ma yaqdi ar-rajulu min imra'ati. They then consummate the relation. In the morning, ghada alayhi ashabu. All his friends line up. Kayfa wajadta ahlak. So, how was the first night? Fa'arada anhum, he walks away. Hey, come in, Salman, what's up, man? Kayfa wajadta ahlak. So, how was it? You got married to a woman from Kinda. We heard a lot about this woman. Fa'arada anhum, he ignores. Again, they come to him. Kayfa wajadta. He said, Innama ja'ala Allah ta'ala as-sutura wal-abwaba wal-khudura lituwara ma fiha. The reason why Allah made this wall and this curtain and this veil is so that what happens in that bedroom doesn't come out of that bedroom. حَسْبَ مْرِئِمْ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يَسْعَلَ عَمَّا ذَارَ. Ask me about my external conditions. فَأَمَّا مَا غَابَ. Now today, in the name of Facebook, you don't want to know what has been thrown out and what has been splashed out. The intimate life of every person has been thrown out. What did he say? فَأَمَّا مَا غَابَ عَنْكُمْ. That which is not apparent to you, فَلَا يَسْعَلَنَّ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. Nobody should ask about it. سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ saying, الْمُتَحَدِّثُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ الْمُتَحَدِّثُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ كَالْحِمَارَيْنِ يَتَسَافِدَانِ فِي الطَّرِيقِ. The one who comes and exposes his private life in the public eye is no different than two donkeys who mate in public. The one who exposes his private life in public is no different to two donkeys who come and mate and have relation in public. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infuse within us through tolerance and through modesty and bashfulness that we realize what is important, what is vital. It is this very same Salman radiallahu anhu that when he came to Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam paid him up with Abu Darda. After the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Darda went to live in Masjid, in the surroundings of Masjid al-Aqsa in Baytul Muqaddis, and Salman Farsi went to live in Iraq. So one day Abu Darda wrote to Salman Farsi. He said, "Salamun alayk. Amma ba'd. Fa inna Allah razaqani ba'daka malan wa waladan wa nazaltu al-ard al-muqaddisa." Listen, we haven't met. It's been long we haven't spoken. I just thought I'd keep you posted on my information. Apparently I've relocated and I've moved now to Masjid al-Aqsa. And I must tell you, after we last met, things have really opened up. Allah has given me a lot of wealth and Allah has given me a lot of health and a lot of money. So Salman al-Farsi wrote back to his brother. He said, "Amma ba'd, فَإِنَّكَ كَتَبْتَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّ اللَّهَ رَزَقَكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا وَعْلَمْ أَنَّكَ أَنَّ الْخَيْرِ لَيْسَ بِكَثْرَةِ الْمَالِ وَالْوَلَدِ." Happy to know that you're alive and you're safe and sound. But just to set the record correctly, I was quite disturbed that you introduced yourself by speaking about how wealth developed in your life. Let me remind you, our good friend Muhammad Sassim told us that the excellence of a man doesn't depend. You're going to China or you're going to Brisbane or you're going to New York. Nice to know you're living there, but if you tell me, you know what, you've got so many portfolios, it doesn't make a difference to me. I'm sad to know that that is what you've said. Remember, the goodness of a man is, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْخَيْرَ. Goodness lies, أَنْ يَكْثُرَ حِلْمُكَ وَأَنْ يَنْفَعَكَ عِلْمُكَ. If I know your knowledge is benefiting those around you. And he said, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ لَا تَعْمَلْ لِأَحَدْ. Living on any land is no privilege. Doing the actions of that land is what will privilege you. May Allah inspire us with modesty and morality and make us an embodiment of haya and ghayra. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.